Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
Today on the show, we're talking to Juju Chan. Juju is one of the stars of the Scott Adkins film Savage Dog. She starred in the highly successful sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon called Sword of Destiny. And you may know her most significantly from her role as Zan, the villain, in the highly successful Netflix show Wu Assassins. My name is Mark Serianis. I'm your host. I'm a third Don Black Belt, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Taekwondo Life magazine. What I am not is the female Bruce Lee. Can you imagine being coined and being called the female Bruce Lee? That's one thing if you call that of yourself, but when the media, when people that have observed you in the martial arts world call you the female Bruce Lee, it is certainly a badge of honor, one that Juju Chan, today's guest, wears humbly. Juju is not only a martial arts action star, she is a highly skilled martial artist. She was the Hong Kong National Taekwondo Team member. She is an acclaimed medalist. She has studied Shotokan Karate, Wushu, Wing Chun, Hunga, Muay, and she is an expert in the use of the nunchucks. She is a bright, gifted, well-rounded individual, having obtained a master's degree from NYU, undergraduate degrees in computer science and mathematics, dancer, singer, martial artist, intellectual. I could just continue to go on and on. But her probably most desirable quality is her humility, her thoughtfulness, her attention to charity, and her desire to improve what the world's vision of female martial artists, female athletics, and women in the entertainment field as her goal. This was a great conversation. I thank Mike Fury for making me aware of the fact that Juju had a Taekwondo background. While I was aware of her, I wasn't familiar with her Taekwondo background. And Mike Fury, author of Life of Action 1 and 2, brought that to my attention. I hope you enjoy the show. Very good. Well, thank you for talking to me. I, in the interest of time, I'll keep it brief. We are international. I don't know how much you know about us. We are relatively new in the Taekwondo world, about 4 years, the magazine. We're international publication, podcast. We're actually print and digital. So we're in 165 countries. So thank you for talking to us. I'm familiar with you, as I know that our listeners and our viewers are, from your work in most recently, Wu Assassins, your character of Zan, your role in Savage Dog. We have a good relationship with Jesse B. Johnson and Scott Adkins. Scott just did the program about 2 weeks ago. And your role in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the sequel. So thank you very much for talking to us. You're in Hong Kong now, right? You're coming to us from How are things there? Probably a little better than here right now, I would think, right?
Right now in Hong Kong, it's quite, everyone wear a mask and practice social distancing and hygiene and So yeah, it's pretty safe here.
Good, good, good. So let me ask you, you have a quite a varied martial arts history, but how'd you get started with studying? You started very young. How'd you get started in studying the martial arts?
I started martial arts since I was 10 years old, because I love action films. When I was a kid, my father would, you know, put on action movies on TV, and every time when he showed a movie, I would just copy all the moves. If Jackie Chan is flying from building to building, I'll be jumping from table to coffee table and just break a lot of stuff. So yeah, it's kind of hard to control me when I was a kid. So my parents were like, better send her, you know, to learn proper martial arts. At least she'll know what she's doing and won't just, you know, copy without knowing how actually the moves are. So yeah, they sent me to do judo first, because that's the closest school.
Okay.
By my place that time. So judo was the first discipline I learned.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And that's common. Many people, if they get involved, it's geographically whatever's close to them. If there's a close martial arts school, especially if you don't know that much about the styles at that point, you're a kid. I see you have a background in Shotokan and Wushu. I know that you're great with the Nunchaka, Wing Chun. But Taekwondo stands out, obviously, for us. But also, I see you had great prominence in Taekwondo, being a member of the Hong Kong national team and your success there. How did you get involved in Taekwondo? What is it that led you into Taekwondo? And what is it that you stayed with Taekwondo for obviously quite some time?
I mean, I always love all the different kicks, because for me, I'm more a kicker. And Taekwondo definitely have all the most amazing kicks.
Sure.
So when I started knowing more about martial arts, and I actually picked what I want to learn next, I picked Taekwondo when I was, you know, a teenager. I learned a lot of different styles, because after judo, I did karate, Chinese kung fu. And then I learned Taekwondo. I started training Taekwondo seriously actually after college. So I learned a little bit when I was a kid, but then, you know, as a kid, you try to learn different things and jump from different homes. Yeah. So once I started intensively doing Taekwondo, I love it very much, and started competing right after I got my black belt. I was very happy that I got selected to represent Hong Kong, and I do ITF Taekwondo.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's how I started, and then started representing Hong Kong for Taekwondo, and I love it, and it actually helped me a lot for film too, because a lot of my films, when I was doing action roles, I do a lot of kicks.
Sure.
Yeah.
It is one of the things about Taekwondo, because it tends to be more, the demonstrations are very beautiful, and there's a lot of leading into a lot of, especially now, much more acrobatic type things, which lend themselves to things that are visually a lot more appealing for people when they're watching films. How do you make that transition from, you know, being, you're a true mixed martial artist, right? I mean, you've studied a multiple martial arts styles, you're proficient in many. How do you make that transition from being a martial artist and somebody who is really on that path of competition path to being somebody who's involved in film and entertainment? How does that occur?
I actually approached my career in film and entertainment completely separately to my martial arts. So there's not really a real transition for me. They kind of run together.
Sure.
It might seem odd to your listeners, but at the time I started in the industry about 10 years ago, I never crossed my mind that I could, you know, use my martial arts skills for film work. At that time, a lot of the famous actresses in Hong Kong were pretty girls, and any action films, they were obviously done by their stunt doubles. And it was all being as girly as possible. and none of them were actual martial artists. And even if they do, it's do a kung fu film or two, you know. So for me at the time, it was really after I started my career, and then I was doing martial art as well. And then there are some news about me competing, and then people were like, "Oh, you're in movie and you're competing." And then of course I also I had a mentor. He's now my husband, Anthony Sito. He is actually the first person telling me that, "Oh, you should focus in being an action actress, because there, if you're just an actress doing different things, I mean, it's hard for people to remember who you are, and you already have your martial arts skills, and there's lacking a real action actress in movies right now. Why don't you, just stick with your action and in your films?" So that was why I then merged the two together and focused in doing action films.
That's great. That's great. It was a good path. It's definitely, now in saying that, things come together for a reason. In doing the reading about you, for those of the folks who aren't familiar with it, you have this unbelievable nickname, title, which is, I see in reading about you, people call you the female Bruce Lee. How does that come about, to your knowledge? And there's such a high watermark for every style of martial arts when you say the name Bruce Lee. Does that give you a sense of special responsibility in the roles and things that you choose in terms of how you approach your career, knowing that that's out there? I mean, that's out there in the world.
Well, the entertainment press started taking notice of my martial arts background when I was being interviewed by the sports press after I won some international competitions. And then I think it was after I did a live TV show where I performed a double nunchucks routine that the press started calling me the female Bruce Lee. I was actually a bit shocked at that time when I got that AKA. I mean,
sure.
No one can be another Bruce Lee.
Sure. Sure. Something that you're conscious of when you're involved in roles that's people's perception of you, and that's their expectation, going from somebody who's coming into it saying, and you're right, that there's not a lot of women who have taken the path that you have and done it successfully and done it without having all the female. Is it something that you're conscious of, or is it something that other people are more conscious of than you in how you approach it?
Well, I have to say, like, the female Bruce Lee title, it was also one of the reason I upped my training a lot to another level. And also one of the reason I accepted the offer to fight in Muay Thai competitions. Because I did my Muay Thai competitions just, 6 years ago?
Oh, wow.
That was already started my acting career. And Bruce Lee was a true all-round martial artist, and I wanted to prove that I can be that too.
Well, that's important, and I think that if you're a true martial artist, you never rest on your laurels, right? You're always trying to do more, achieve more, be better, and be the best that you can be at a certain point in your life. So now, you have an unusual resume, because there are certain people who are very good martial artists, but you are very multi-talented. You're involved in music, dancing, athletics, entertainment. I see you were Miss Chinatown USA. In addition to that, you have a mathematics and computer science degree. You have a master's degree. You're a Renaissance woman. How do all those things tie together in terms of your life goals? In other words, you have a very strong career path in two things, entertainment and martial arts, but there's all these other factors. Are those all combined for a common goal? Or is that a product of just various things that you're involved in your life?
Honestly, I don't really know. When I was young, I knew I loved performing, but I didn't actually see it as a career, especially coming from an Asian family.
Cause sure.
Parents always want you to do something more practical, as in like business or doctor or lawyer.
Sure.
So it was more of a hobby for me, doing martial arts and performing, and even singing, dancing, anything like that. So I studied really hard when I was a kid. I chose computer science because that's what my dad did. And mathematics was just an easy major for me. So my love was performance. So I threw in dance for fun when I was doing my undergraduate. But once I graduated and needed to decide what I really wanted to do, that's when I decided that I want to go for a performance in arts and film. And so I enrolled to NYU to study it first. After I graduated, then I also started competing in beauty contests. And that was kind of a stepping stone for me as well. And then I started having a manager in Hong Kong and got a music deal, a record deal in Hong Kong. I actually started out as a singer first. And then and then found my path to acting. Well, I always wanted to do acting, but I don't know, you know, how to be casted on a film or a project, you know. And 10 years ago, there weren't that many Asian roles for films in Hollywood or internationally. So I, that's why I also went back to Hong Kong to start my career.
That's great. So one of the questions that I had, this is for more for me personally, is that you did Savage Dog with Jesse Johnson, who again is a friend of the show, and Scott, who's probably one of the premier martial artists and action stars in the world. But the role that you had in Savage Dog, which was great, wasn't a martial arts role in particular, right? You're known for your martial arts. It was a different role. It was an acting role, and it was great. And your performance was great, and it was really well received. My question is, did you have an opportunity to train with Scott a little bit off camera? Did you guys get a chance to work out, and what was, did you enjoy that experience, or was that something that sort of passed you by because of the nature of the role?
Well, that was a cute, sweet role, but I have to say that role was a little annoying for me.
I couldn't fight for the role.
And while all the guys are doing all these amazing fight scenes, which I always want to jump in, I was actually suggesting to Jesse, hey, write me an action scene. And he was trying to do that, but just didn't work for the story. So it kind of dropped. But yeah. So if you guys saw a Savage Dog, you know, I'm playing this diminutive Asian girl who, although he has a really big heart and tries to take control emotionally and ultimately become a victim to the violence that surrounds her. Personally, I wanted to kick some ass physically.
Yeah, well, you're surrounded by these great fighters, Kung Lei and Mark Z and Scott. And it's a great movie. It really is a great movie. Your performance is great in the movie.
I got a chance to grab Scott, Coney, and Marco whenever they are free to do some kicking with me behind the scenes. I actually have pictures of those two. It was very fun working with them, and hopefully next time I can work with Scott again and I can be, you know, kicking his ass instead of having my character sleep with him.
Good, that's
great. His character.
That's good. We would look forward to seeing that. That would be very, very good. So now leading into some stuff that we've talked about here, right, which is the roles for Asians. The show Wu Assassins, a terrific show, a show that's well received on a high level platform. Iko Uwais, one of the premier martial artists in the world. I think his Indonesian martial arts films are phenomenal, and his abilities are phenomenal. How does it come about? How do you get involved in that project? And I know we're coming into hopefully season two on that. You know, what can we expect? But how do you get involved in that project? And what are your feelings about it?
Well, like most Hollywood actors, I got the role through casting. If you know the show, I was originally reading for the role of Ying Ying.
Okay.
Known as the first Wu assassin. When I went for a second audition, that time I did it with the showrunner, and he loved my look and felt my background in martial arts would really be useful for the show that sold itself of a martial arts sector, right? Section action. So he casted me for a strong fighting role that was originally written for a man. So Zan, that's how Zan becomes Zan after the showrunner saw me in the audition. Yeah. So personally, I'm super thankful for getting to work on it. I mean, I got to do a few of what I think are some of the coolest fight scenes. Plus, I did lots of training with Eco UA's fight team.
Oh, wow.
Also, I want to shout out to the Canadian film Canadian fight team, who are so amazing. The fight choreographer, Dan Risotto, he is super talented, and I can't wait to work with him again.
Well, that's great. And it's really a cool story, because for you to be able to carve that character out from being originally conceived as a male role and somebody else into your own, and the character is not a minor character. The character takes on some real prominence, particularly as the season goes on. That's pretty exciting, and that's a testament to their confidence in you. So what can we expect? You probably can't give away the details. Can we expect to see a lot of Zan in season two, or is that still up in the air? Is there anything you can say about it?
Well, I really can't give anything away, but I'll say I think the fights she'll have in the coming season, or you know, a sequel or whatever, will definitely be more challenging and cooler than what you've seen.
Were you surprised about the, you know, so much of what I had read about it, and maybe for me it was unusual, because I'm very steeped in Asian films. I'm very involved in because of the work that I do, Korean films and Indonesian films and all international films. But there was such a lot of talk about the fact that, wow, here's a show that has an opportunity to have an Asian cast and have them portrayed in a realistic way, and not in a way that portrays people based on stereotypes and based on preconceptions, but simply as characters and human beings. Did that surprise you about the so much of what was written about the show, or did you kind of expect that going in, or what were your thoughts on that? Because the show is a great show with a great cast that happens to be Asian. It could be any group of folks.
I think this is great for the Asian community, and there are so many Asian stories can be told, and I think especially in America, it's a really diverse country. We have different, you know, people coming from different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds. So as Asians, we are very happy to have a chance to, you know, tell our story, especially on Netflix and other big
networks.
So, and the good thing is not only in front of the camera, they are casting Asians. For the writers, they are also having Asian writers, you know, an Asian director to do the story and the filming. So to add, you know, more authenticity to the project, which is a good thing.
That's a great thing. And I look forward. I know that the buzz is, you know, people are really looking forward to season two, and I'm sure it's going to be great. So tell me, you know, in talking to Scott and talking to other folks, especially those of us that train, we're trying to train during this pandemic. It's been tough. We have to be creative. How has it affected your training? How has it impacted you? You know, there's a lot of limitations to what we're able to do and where we're able to go.
Yeah. Training wise, I've just been training with my husband. We usually go to the park and find a little area away from anyone else to train in. And he's a bit of a weapons expert, so I'm able to do a lot of that with him, and, you know, when he's not holding pads for me to kick. Training weapons with him is great. And in terms of projects, I mean, like most people in Hollywood, filming has been put on hold. So it's a lot of sitting around. And, well, right now we're also writing some scripts together, me and my husband, and we got some script already written. Also right now we use this time to improve our skills, you know, not to think too much about the work
I'm right. able to do. I agree. And I think, you know, I think it's been a good time to not as much focus on learning and growing skills, but honing and refreshing and strengthening the skills that we have. And I try to do the same thing. I find I'm up at 4 a.m. out in a park, you know, where hopefully not too many people are around and training and stuff. So that's great. So what we don't know what we, you know, different places of the world are at different stages of this pandemic, lockdown, open up. What do you expect in the post as things come forward, what's in store for you? You have projects already lined up, or is that just going to all be based upon the scheduling? Because, you know, even talking to Scott, he was in the middle of doing a film with Dolph Lundgren. They had to stop because of the pandemic, and it's just now sitting and waiting till when that resumes. Are you sort of in that same kind of a pattern, or do you have things already scheduled at this point? Or
Well, before the pandemic, I was actually ready to start filming two different projects. So hopefully they will, you know, come back online once we get a go on both of them to get back to work.
Well, that's great. That's great. In the interest of time, I'll ask you one or two questions. One, I forgot, and I wanted to ask you, because I know people's charities is always so important to them. I saw that you're a spokesperson for the Heroes 2 charity. I didn't know if you wanted to mention anything about what that is, or what the role of that is. I think I have it right. It's called Heroes 2, right? Is that the name of the charity that you're
Quite a while ago, more than 10 years ago, I'm part of this group. It's for environmental protection. Right now, I'm also doing a lot for environmental, supporting different environmental groups. And other groups that I'm supporting right now is also the Women's Foundation. They bring a lot of work to for women empowerment work and gender equality work, and another foundation that I'm working with is called the Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, great!
I think it's a really meaningful thing to be able to help people to rebuild their home, and the underprivileged people to give them help build their home and house, and improving their, you know, their living condition. Those are the charities that I've been working with right now.
Wonderful. I would ask if you have, you know, I think that you are such an important figure. You may not even recognize it. You're a successful, multi-talented, intelligent woman who's made her way and seems to have controlled your destiny, and you have such a tremendous career ahead of you. Do you have any particular advice for young, you know, martial arts, particularly for a lot of women? It's been largely the success, as you've said, of a lot of the people over the years historically have been male, both within the dojang and out of the dojang in the film world. That's changing. You're a big part of that. Do you have any advice for young women that are coming up now that are trying to take their, you know, their lives and their careers into their own hands?
I think follow your heart is important. Don't let anyone talk you out of what you really have passion in. And especially when you are starting out, when you are young, why not try, you know, give yourself, just try it out. You might like it or you might not, but you won't regret it. So don't let anyone hold you back when you know you have a great passion in achieving your dream. And believe in yourself, that's important. And also, I think having a good mentor is important. So if you can find the right mentor, he or she will definitely help guiding your path and let you know whether you are suitable for that field or not.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Juju Chan, I want to thank you for speaking to us. I know that you're busy even during this pandemic, and you took the time to talk to us, and I really do appreciate it. We look forward to looking for the release of Wu Assassins, the second season. We look forward to whatever other projects that you are involved in. I encourage our audience, if you haven't seen some of your other projects, to go back and check them out. And we wish you all the best. And we look forward to following your career. And thank you for talking to Taekwondo Life magazine today.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you. Be well. Be well. And safe travel.
You too. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. conquer the bake sale. Even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's going to be great.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.